Right, good morning, everybody. Amen. Business has got lost in the nation this morning. And that's the Holy Spirit. If ever you come from a different background, you will pick up the difference. The Lord leading us where He wants to take us. There was joy, then we went low, then there was just this infilling, and then there was this joy again. And then, we pray that everyone catches that revelation. So this morning we start off a three-week series on the Holy Spirit, the promise encountering the Holy Spirit, which I'm really excited for, and it should be series that shifts us, that challenges us, that reassures us, that fills us. And this morning we'll be going into the Holy Spirit, the person, the purpose, and His power in the church. And I think we can just start with Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I think I just want to start there with the very second verse of the Bible we are introduced to the Holy Spirit. Before God says, "Let there be light," before He creates and shifts and shapes the earth, the Holy Spirit was. And we need to grasp that first off. The Holy Spirit wasn't introduced at Pentecost, at the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said they should wait for the Holy Spirit. It was rather the, I don't want to use the word dispensation, rather the covenant now, the new covenant, where the Holy Spirit would be inside of us. And it shifted things. No longer came upon people, but now was within us and still within us. So that's the introduction to the covenant that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But the introduction to the Holy Spirit is at the very beginning. It's been here from the start. The Holy Spirit is the third person of our triune God, the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to know that. Unfortunately, somehow it's the one part of the Trinity which is most misunderstood. He is most misunderstood because He is a person. He's not just a force. And unfortunately, some people treat Him like that. Over the years, churches' doctrines have gone wonky, sadly. I grew up in a church where the Holy Spirit was denied. He's not living, He's not active. We didn't pray for miracles and things, outer manifestations of the Holy Spirit, tongues and that. He was denied, He was placed in a box. And unfortunately, there's a lot of religion like that. The opposite is also true. The churches have gone the complete opposite way, or doctrines have gone the complete opposite way, where they have reduced the Holy Spirit to a feeling. Ooh, yes. I've seen it. I've seen people, man, toneelspel, man, acting. Someone blow on them and then they are behind the keyboard, but they're just so on the ground. But you can sense this is not Holy Spirit, this is performance. And sadly, the broader church shifts between these two polars. But there is a right way to acknowledge and reverence the Holy Spirit. And I'm just, yeah, ek is al van my notes af, so by die begin. Some have reduced Him to a mystical feeling. Some only relate to Him as power. Some only mention Him when they need something. And He's so much more than that. Like we said, He is God. And that is who he is. And if I can just put up an image of what he does. And I listed 33 things the Holy Spirit does. Now connect yourself to. He helps us. He guides us. He teaches us. He speaks. He reveals. He instructs. He testifies of Jesus. He comforts us. He calls us. He folds us. He strengthens us. He prays for us. He prophesies to us. He bears witness to the truth. He brings joy. He brings freedom. He helps to obey. He calls for Jesus' return. He transforms. He loves in us. He frees us. He transforms us. He renews us. He produces fruit in us. He gives gifts. He leads us. He convicts. He sanctifies us. He empowers us. He unites us. He seals us. He gives us access to the Father. He enables us to wait. He casts out demons. Amen. And it's many more. I will post that on comment. But you need to catch it. There's so much to the Holy Spirit as a being that we have access to. If we allow him to become, genuinely become part of us, not just become part of us, but to lead us. To lead us. And if you are new to the kingdom, and maybe this area is a bit, you know, wonky, maybe it's not the right word. Gray area. The easiest analogy I can give you is electricity versus an electrician. Electricity is power. Okay? Electricity produces lights. And it follows laws. There's laws in electricity. I studied electrical engineering many, many, many years ago. Then you can know how to do it. I don't know. I studied electrical engineering. And I was fascinated by the laws of electricity and how things work. But at the end of the day, electricity doesn't have a plan for your life. Electricity isn't sad when you switch it off. Electricity can't explain to you why it's not going on. An electrician is a person, not a force. But the electrician still knows the power of the electricity. An electrician can explain to you why it's not working this morning. An electrician has the mind to build a circuit for how this electricity must flow so that it can work optimally. An electrician has feelings. I know shame the other men's and donker the fatweda. Answer it an. That's the difference between a force and a person. And so the Holy Spirit is a person but carries the power of that force. And that is what we must get into us. Not just this one side that people like to glamorize, because unfortunately we live in a world like that. Fascinated by the power of the Holy Spirit, but not wanting to submit or to have reverence for who he actually is. And so today, as we introduce the subject for the next 3 weeks, I just want to go into that a bit. So if the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit, not just his power, but the person of the Holy Spirit within us, and what he does to become part of us, then we need to understand why he is in us. That's his function, but why is he in us? Why is it necessary to have the Holy Spirit inside of us? Kom kan ek net die aangaan, soos ek aangaan. And let's remember, I can't put enough emphasis on it. He is the Holy Spirit. There are other spirits, but he is the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you be careful that something that feels like a spirit, chances are it is a spirit. Just make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because as demonic spirits, that also carry some power, but not the same as the Holy Spirit. Just be able to discern that. And so we're going to go to John 17, 20 to 26. And I just want to make 3 or 4 points today about the Holy Spirit and how He works in us. And, sorry, this was my quiet time of reading. Seek for Drida, just this, 22:26. This is Jesus praying before He's arrested. But this is the section where He's praying for us, those who are still to come. And you sit there and you read, and you think how privileged you are to be able to hear, to see Jesus praying for you, literally praying for you. And I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them even as You love Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me, because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Before I go to verse 35, I'm just thinking now, put your name in there. Father, I desire that Sia also, who You have given Me, may be with Me where I am. Father, I desire that kingdom, who You have given Me, may be with Me where I am. He's speaking to us directly. Don't take it as a broad. He's talking about you in that. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know You, I know You. And these know that You have sent Me. And this is the verse we're going to focus on a lot today. I made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. You can leave it this year. And yet, man, it may take 3 or 4 days with those words washing over me. What Jesus is saying, what He is presenting before God, how He's presenting me before God, what He's asking the Lord to do, and how He does it is the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, I have made My name known, and will made Your name known, and will continue to make Your name known. But if Jesus left and ascended back to heaven, it's not Him per se directly, it's the Holy Spirit that is carrying that work out. And so, the first point I want to make is the Holy Spirit continues the revelation of the Father. That is what He does. Before Jesus, the Israelites understood God the Father, but only to a limited degree. They understood Him as the Father of the nation, the Father of the tribes, but not per se individually as My Father. But when Jesus came, Jesus revealed the Father on a whole different level to them. He revealed a personal and intimate Father to them. He spoke always about My Father, My Father. Even the religious of the day, the Pharisees, were annoyed that Jesus dared to call God Father. But He came to break that over them. And today the Holy Spirit is still doing that. Some of us only know God as God and Father over everyone, but we yet to have the revelation of God the Father for you. Because this is a progressive revelation. It was a progressive revelation for the Israelites. They understood God the Father to a degree, but now Jesus came to add more. And for us in our journey, we will have a progressive revelation of who Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. It took me many years to get where I am, and I'm still not where I should be. Understanding the revelation of God the Father. And for me, it was because I grew up without a father that I struggled to understand God as Father in my life. I knew him as God Almighty. I serve you. I worship you. But I didn't know him as Abba Father. And I remember Auntie Verity, a lady that walked with us and walked with me for years. And she said, Ignacio, the day that you catch this revelation, that God the Father, Abba is your Father, you will lead people. And it took years, but I got there, and that prophecy is fulfilled today. And so the Holy Spirit continues that work. He reveals the Father through Scripture, through truth. He gives understanding. He takes what is written and he gives it life. The other day I was reading Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3. And I'm blown away. And I'm like, I want to preach these three verses. There's so much here. Because the Lord is showing me something deeper in the Hebrew and my belly half. But just a deeper understanding of what these three verses mean and God's order of things. But it's because the Holy Spirit brought that to life. He brought Scripture to. Even this morning in my quiet time, as past 4 in the ochend, yes, I'm groggy when I have to get up, but once I'm in it, I'm in it. But then what I was reading, I was like, oh, it was so romancing me, because it was life. Yes. The Spirit breathed, and breathed life into our past 4, because now I'm awake. Now I'm in the Spirit, no kind of energy, do not rain, but I feel like running outside for what I just read. With excitement for who he is as my Father. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Nothing else can do that for you. Anything else will be temporary. That's why you must go back to it again. Dus ek kom nie weer gaan drink, en weer gaan drink, en weer gaan rond, en weer gaan rondslaap. Because it can't fulfill you. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can fulfill. And so 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that, the purpose of it, so that the servant of God, you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The other scripture says matured, but I like this, thoroughly equipped. The Holy Spirit is equipping you. That's his role. And by revealing the Father, he is equipping you for this life. But if you go back, as working marshmallows and letters, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Sometimes it's hard what the Holy Spirit is doing. But in it, he's revealing the Father more and more. If you go and read Hebrews 12, you'll understand what father doesn't discipline his children. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to teach you that, to be on the receiving end of discipline, but understanding that it's done in love. And so, his ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry, is often a ministry of revelation. He's a spirit of revelation. He reveals to us. Like I said now, some of us need the revelation of God the Father. The softness, the gentleness. I used to enjoy the hard. Yeah. But you need the softness. You need God's tender touch. The reassurance that comes with it. You're not a servant, you're a child in the house of the Lord. But then again, there's others who only know God as Father, as Abba, but don't know God as the Holy One, the Righteous One. So it's done also so right, as long as he loves me. But we must be careful of that also. Psalm 89 verse 4 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. This messed me up when I learned this. Andrew was teaching it recently. And I was like, if I'd hear it, what kind of one? My understanding was always love is the foundation of the throne. But the Lord is saying righteousness and justice is the foundation of my throne. God is love. We're not denying that. But righteousness and justice is the foundation. Love will go before, and faithfulness will go before you. It's like a royal procession. It goes before him. So that when judgment comes, his mercy has already worked in you. So that you are not, you don't fall on the wrong side of that judgment. But there will be a judgment. And that's the Holy Spirit revealing the Father as well. We need to get the full revelation of the Father. Yes, he is love, but he is righteousness and he is justice. And we need to understand that and have a reverence for that. So that's the first point. That is not the problem. And the second point, the Holy Spirit makes the love of God real in us. And if we go back to John 17, 26. And the second section says, I will continue to make you know that the love with which you love me may be in them. That is the revelation from the Holy Spirit. You can read it and read it and read it and read it. It's not the same thing as loving it. Not the same thing as receiving it. That the same love, the same level of love that God has for his Son is the same level of love he has for you. You are not second class. As he apartheid in you. Ik ga niet achter en kom in. You walk through the front door just like everyone else. We are seated in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. Because his love for you is the same as his love for his Son. That's a revelation that you can only get from the Holy Spirit. I can preach it today, but you need to absorb that. And that absorption will come through your private time with him. Through your walking with him. The same divine love shared within the Trinity is now poured into the believer through the Holy Spirit. Man, that is so beautiful. Even what Jesus is praying, Jesus is saying, this divine fellowship that we have as the Trinity, Lord, make room for them to participate in this as well. Pull out a chair for them at this table. That is what Jesus is saying. It's a privilege. It will give you so much confidence in your identity in Christ. When you catch the revelation through the Holy Spirit, that the love the Father has for the Son is the exact same love that he has for you. And when you catch that, then there's this domino effect. Now you realize Christianity is not merely a doctrine. It's iets wat je gaan leren op school, op university, online. It's more than a doctrine now. Because now it's touching you. It's an encounter, it's a relationship, it's a love experience. And so, this is what the Holy Spirit does inside of you. Unfortunately, there are believers who only know theology, but have never allowed the Holy Spirit to minister the love of the Father to them. They can quote scripture like that, nog in versions work. This is KJV and this is DDD, this is ETV, SABC 3 version. They can quote scriptures, but they've never allowed the Holy Spirit to work into their wounds. They double down rather on knowledge, rather than submitting to the Lord. And that's such a sad state to live in. And when the love of God becomes real in your heart, fear also loses grip over you. Shame will break. Identity begins to heal. And the Holy Spirit makes the Father's love tangible. Like I said, this is the whole domino effect. Once you allow it into you, once you allow him into you, and broken people get restored, and addicts get healed, and prodigals come home. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit inside of people. A few weeks ago, I spoke about, you can't slap in your hand. Speak life into people, but leave it just there. The Holy Spirit has that work. It's not your work, that's his work. Yeah. Need to discern between the two. And so he does not only teach us that God loves us, but it lets us feel heaven's love in the depth of our being. And we go back to John 17, 26. And then after that he says, which you have loved me, may be in them, and I in them. And so now another work of the Holy Spirit is the revelation of Christ in you. And I preached about that a month and a half ago. And this is the miracle of the gospel, that Christ is in you. No other religion claims that God, their God, with a small g, by a claim, size 4, that their God lives inside of them. None of them have that. This is our God, this is our loving God, that chooses to love inside of you. Man, catch it. He loves you so much, he sends his son to die for you so that there can be a way back into relationship with him, because he's a God of righteousness and justice. He can't just allow it. There's a price that has to be paid. But the price was his son. That's the depth of the love. But that's not all. There's more. He gives you his Holy Spirit, which is him, the third part of the Trinity, to live inside of you so that you can come even closer to him. What more do you need? I feel better like others. You can have your cake and you can eat it. Sorry. Christ in us, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling presence of Jesus within the believer. This is why our faith is alive. This is why our praise is not empty words. This is why worship becomes encounter. This is why conviction is personal. It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing Christ in us. And so because of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes Christ present within us, that we realize that this is more than religion. This is a union between us. This is intimacy. This is fellowship. He walks with us in private. He convicts us when no one is looking. He comforts us in the midnight hour. He strengthens us when our flesh is weak. The Holy Spirit is heaven's answer to the loneliness of the believer. The Holy Spirit is heaven's answer to the loneliness of the believer. Loneliness doesn't mean you are alone. You can be married and be lonely, and the Lord can be the answer to that. You can be in a room with 100 people and still be lonely. But the Lord, but heaven has an answer for that, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the last point I want to make is we're going to shift now from individual to corporate. And if we go back to John 17, 20 to 23, now we reach the climax of this actually. After individual, it becomes the corporate. That was not played in that order. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you love me. Thrice Jesus mentioned it. Make them one. Make them one. Make them one. And this is the last point I want to make. The Holy Spirit brings the saints into divine unity. As he works on us as individuals, he's also working on us corporately, as us as a congregation here. The Holy Spirit does all these beautiful things within us individually. He reveals, he loves, he indwells. But then he does something even greater. He joins us together. And the standard that God sets for our unity is heaven's standard. Nothing else. There's no compromise. There's no subsection. Make them one as we are one. You don't need a prophetic word for that. Someone to teach theology in that. It's straightforward. That is the standard God sets. It's a divine unity. The reason why it's divine, because it glorifies the Father. If someone has to walk in here or see us socially, and you see white people, you see colored people, you see black people, you see Sotho, you see Xhosa, you see Zulu, Griqua, everything. And they're like, who's yellow Sam in the camera? How are you guys together and loving each other? That glorifies the Father, because that unity is not human. South Africa has been talking about a rainbow nation since 1990. Ek weet nie wat nie. Ek nog 'n pietie shortie aan gehad te praat oor van rainbow nation, heal the world. 1995, man, we all had to sing. And the Queen came into South Africa. And South Africa is looking for a rainbow nation since then. You will find that rainbow in the kingdom. The proper rainbow. In the pride rainbow. Six clear, seven colors. Yeah, man. It's the Holy Spirit that glorifies us in this unity. Please, 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 I beseech you, I beg you this morning. I'm begging you this morning. Let us have a reverence for this divine unity. Cliques is the enemy of this unity. So I spoke this morning, it's on my heart recently. Are we only speaking to the same people every week? There's the people here that you don't know yet, but we're in the same building for months. Are there people I've invited to my home that I've never invited before? About, because it's difficult, because maybe we won't have a connection point, so I stay clear of it. That's not divine unity. That's earth unity. Earth unity is about the tolerance. I just tolerate you in the same room. My work via dryer om you. That's not God's plan. God's plan is not good morning, brother, how are you? It's getting to know each other. That glorifies Him. It glorifies Him when you're willing to be uncomfortable for Him so that this unity can take place between us. And that's the last point I want to make about the Holy Spirit for this morning. And so our unity is evangelistic. Our unity speaks of God. When people look at them and say, Kirsty, there's something there. They have something that I desire. I can't name it. I don't know how to label it. But I want that. I want that joy that they have there at Oxygen Life. That's a very common one. I want that joy they have. That love they express for people when they come in. That's genuine, by the way. Diana. Me a mournful telling. People desire it because they didn't even know they needed it until they walked into it. That is divine unity. And we need to grasp it and we need to nurture it as this plant. Right now, before we grow to 100, let's get this right. Let's just bring it in. Bring it in. And it's through talking and engaging with different people. A united church becomes a visible expression of an invisible God. And so as we close this morning, I just want to say the Holy Spirit is not given for moments, it's given for life. It's not just called upon for mighty works, it's who you're supposed to have a relationship with on a daily basis. I stood here earlier as worship was coming to the close, and I want to give you insight as to what happens. And I'm standing there, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, did we please you this morning? Is there something more? Is there more that we need to give you? Or can I let it rest here? And I must wait for an answer, and He says, I'm satisfied. So we stop worship. If He tells me I'm not, we're going to go on Even if it means I'm not going to preach, we're going to go on because we are spirit-led. And you have to grow your relationship to that point where you ask Him everything. There are times where I ask the Holy Spirit, which road must I take home? Which one is going to be safe? And I will get a sense of which way to go. Not just automatic, I'm going to get in the car and go. Every morning I pray, keep us safe in this vehicle. You must build that relationship proper to the point where you yearn clearly. Doesn't start that way. I told someone recently, when Angela and I started dating, our dates was praying together. That's our dates. We go walk on the track for an hour in the afternoons and pray together. Or we meet in the morning, I go pick her up 5 to 4, and we pray together 4 to 5, and then I take her back home. That was our dates. But in the beginning, I was also new in the Lord when we met. And we're praying some, and we're done. Now I want to get up. Now she asks me, where are you going to? I don't want to do it. I'm only going to wait to hear from the Lord. I didn't understand that yet. But you're going to grow in that. You're going to grow where you wait after you have spoken to hear Him speak back to you. That is how your relationship with the Holy Spirit must be. That you say, Lord, I don't want to leave this room until you say something to me, until you release something that I can give into this situation. And that is the level of the relationship that you should be having with the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit reveals the Father. He pours divine love into our hearts. He makes Christ alive within us. And He joins us together as one body. And so the question today is not just, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Because I'm sure we all do. But the question is, do you know Him? Do you reverence Him? Do you yield to Him? Because sometimes He's going to speak to you through other people. Do you yield to Him after you use the sermon, obviously? Because He is not something to command. Witches command spirits. Understand that? Witches command spirits. We don't command the Holy Spirit. He is God. If you are commanding the Holy Spirit, you are not commanding Him, he's bezig met toer. Be careful of that one. Don't just, Holy Spirit, work here. Holy Spirit is not here for your bidding. He is God. Treat Him with reverence. He is majestic. He is holy. He is gracious. He is powerful. And He is here.